The following broadcast has been approved for Elite Hornets fans.
What a block by Cody Zeller.
Walker down the lane, drive, shoots, scores! Game over!
Bringing back the buzz is only the beginning.
We will not go quietly into the night.
It's Hornets talk for the hardcore fan. It's Hive Talk Live.
Welcome in, Hornets fans. You are listening to Hive Talk Live Thursdays, brought to you by ESPN 730 on atthehive.com. It's Hornets talk for the hardcore fan. We are live in the Gittimer.com studios in BEA, beautiful uptown Charlotte. I'm Doug Branson, joined by my good friend and great journalist, Justin Thomas from ESPN 730. He covers the team for ESPN 730. Justin, I don't know how many people are listening to this live show. There's a little bit of a huge sporting event going on right now. We may be talking to ourselves, but that's okay.
Hey, it's all right, because why do we have this show? If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's dedicated to the hardcore fan. So
that's
Hornets
right.
Supporters, they understand the significance of tonight's game. So I think the listeners that will be listening, they'll definitely be excited of what we have to say today.
Yeah, I mean, coming up, we've got a great show. Hornets got back into the win column last night, but it wasn't thanks to the bench. We'll discuss what has kept Bench Force One grounded. Plus, which Hornets player would you give the title Mr. Consistent to? And we're looking ahead. What's next for the Hornets as they make a final push for better playoff seeding? I guess that read is basically assuming that they make the playoffs. So there you go. That's where the Hornets are at this point in time. You can listen to us live every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on HiveTalkLive.com. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast aggregator to get shows uploaded to your mobile device of choice. We also have Chris Barnwall from At The Hive coming up a little later. With that, let's swarm Charlotte. Well, we talked about this on the Hive O'Clock Alarm, but I want to get your thoughts, Justin. The Hornets got back into the win column, an important win, not because of who they played, but because of the situation. You wanted to see if the Hornets could bounce back, and they certainly did. They get the win over the Orlando Magic in Charlotte, 107-99. They started off a little slow, Justin, but they had really an amazing second quarter in terms of shooting the basketball. Nick Batum and Marvin Williams, both big in this game, 26 points apiece. Marvin Williams, 21 shots. That's pretty aggressive there by Marvin, who's definitely feeling confident. Poor shooting and defense in the fourth quarter, though, kept this game a little more interesting than I think most fans would have wanted coming into this back-to-back game tonight with Miami. But look, Orlando, we said this on the 5 o'clock alarm, Justin, Orlando can score the basketball. They know how to do it. So holding a team like that to 99 points, no small feat.
It wasn't. Was it the prettiest? No. But I don't think anybody cares about how pretty these wins comes, at this crucial point in time of the season. And I liked it, specifically the second quarter, because Nick, I've been watching Nick, and I've been waiting to see, because everybody always has to, is he a max guy, and blah, blah, blah. I don't even think we need to have that conversation. But I was wanting him to, see.
What do you think? I mean, I don't want to have the conversation, but I'd like to know your opinion as it stands today.
Today, you have to offer him the max deal.
There you go. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about why later. But
and he hadn't been shooting the ball extremely well.
He also hasn't been as aggressive. I think he's been deferring a little bit.
And what I've noticed probably the past 2 weeks or so, usually shoot around on practice, he's usually the last one to leave, and he's always getting up extra shots. And I said, okay, well, that's a guy that knows he's going to have to start shooting the ball better. In the second quarter, him and Marvin, I don't even need to talk about Marvin. Marvin's been playing so well. And Nick just got aggressive. I mean, he was making plays. He was shooting. He was confident. And that was great. I knew the Magic were going to make a run. You know, everybody knows the cliche. Basketball is a game of runs. So you knew that was going to happen. But what I wanted to see was when it got tight, were they able to hang on and secure the win? And Miami. Orlando, they made it really interesting. But in the end, Charlotte was able to hang on. They got the dub, and they took care of the home stretch.
Yeah, well, they finally found the shooting touch in the fourth quarter. Orlando did, certainly led by Hezonja and Oladipo, who seems to always play well against Charlotte. got to the basket. Nicholson got into a bit of a rhythm. So you knew that was coming from a team like the Magic that, again, despite the struggles that they've had this season and despite the players that they've been missing, can score the basketball. And luckily, the starters got back in there and were able to do just enough at the end of the court, especially Marvin with that really key offensive rebound. I mean, this guy, he's just max effort all the time. Marvin Williams getting the offensive rebound. I believe he added 4 offensive rebounds, 9 rebounds total for Marvin Williams, who is absolutely, without question, having the best year of his career. He leads the team in a stat that we talked about on the Hive O'Clock Alarm, real plus minus, meaning this real plus minus stat measures the total contributions that a player makes and his value over a replacement player. And, you know, he's certainly showing his value these past few games.
Man, I don't know if there's enough you can say about this guy. He shows up every
what
day.
What were they saying after the game? You obviously covered the game. What was the word after that win? Were they disappointed because the Magic made a run, or did they think, look, you know, we're in a groove right now and we can beat this team, and we did.
Right now, I see there's more of like, I would say, like a tunnel vision focus. Mm. So say they win in blowout fashion, they win tight, or they lose close. You almost can't tell, and everybody is on the same note. Was it pretty? No. They'll note, you know, we did this well. Ah, we could shore this up. But what matters is we won and we're going to keep forward. And you can see it's a direct reflection from Clifford. Because now, if you notice, when you listen to Clifford talk, Clifford will tell you, it wasn't the prettiest. I like what we did. We could show up on the turnovers here and there. We can do things like that. But he says, you know, right now, I don't care how we win, as long as we're winning. Now, granted, you know, he wants the team to play defense, low turnovers, get back in transition defense, all of those things. But you can just see it. It's like, we want to make the playoffs. We want to win. We don't care how it comes. And it's one game at a time. And when you go in the locker room, you know, the most I've gotten from this past 2 weeks is Nick and Marvin said it. You know, we pay attention to the standings. We know where we are. We know what's in striking distance, but that's the most you're going to get. Outside of that, they're going to tell you it's one game at a time. We won, we lost, we got to get better. We're going to go in tomorrow. We're going to watch the film, and we're going to try to get better and keep going.
Tunnel vision focus. I like those three words to describe what's going on right now in Charlotte, because you listen to them after the game, you watch them during the game, and you can tell, other than that frustration that happened because of some officiating, that was the rare instance where you saw the team lose a little bit of that focus and composure, but they haven't gotten too high on the highs or too low on the lows. And I think that's not only a reflection of Clifford, but just the whole organization seems very even keel. And, you know, I think the concern with that is, can they find the fire? Can they find the desperation when they absolutely need it, whether it be at the end of this season as we approach the final 15 games or in the playoffs? But the advantage to that is that you don't completely fall apart in a fourth quarter like the Orlando Magic. You're like in that game, you're able to sort of get yourself out of a tailspin. And yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, early in the season we saw Clifford hot about a few things, and that's because that part of the season is about learning and changing. I think once you get to a certain point in the season and you've written your story, and I think the Hornets have written their story now, it's really about the guys going out and taking the lessons they learned from the offseason and the beginning of the season and executing it. Because there's really no practice time. There's not enough practice time to really make any wholesale change or fix a huge problem. It's about the guys coming together and, again, not panicking and doing the things necessary to execute out on the court. So I think that's a great point. But one area where the Hornets are definitely struggling, and it's so strange, Justin, that the bench, the second unit, is what we point to when we talk about the struggles going on right now in Charlotte, because that was their source of strength early in the season when the starters were trying to gel and figure out how to play with one another and dealing with injuries. It was the second unit. It was Jeremy Lin. It was Jeremy Lamb really bringing these guys through games, and you could point to the bench as being like, that's the reason they won that game. And now we're seeing, you know, 3 of 12 nights from Al Jefferson. Lynn continues to struggle from beyond the arc. Lamb has been replaced by Troy Daniels, who looked a little shaky in that Orlando game. Chris is on the line. He's standing by. But before we get to him, just your quick thoughts on what's going on with the bench. Do you even think they're struggling? Am I wrong for saying that?
They're struggling. But what I like, I can say from Lynn and Jefferson, they're both continuing to compete. They're definitely really trying. And I think this is a little bit different for Troy now. Troy's not playing, you know, this isn't the first 30 games of the season. You know, now when he's in the game, he's expected to play and shoot. And last night, you could see him. He wasn't playing basketball. When he was out there, you could see he was thinking. And he didn't shoot well at all. And Jeremy Lamb, you know, we're definitely going to talk about that. But there have definitely been some struggles. They're going to have to get that together.
All right, let's go out to the phone lines, the Hive Talk Live hotline, where we have writer for @thehive.com, Chris Barnwall. Chris, how are you doing this evening, sir? Oh, Chris, I don't know if you can hear us. It looks like we're having, looks like we're having a little trouble with the phone line this evening. Give it one more shot, Chris. All right, we'll try to get Chris back on.
Can we have a pause right now? You know, this is what DJ Khaled was talking about.
What was I?
You know,
I'm
they
sorry.
Say they you, don't want the, us to win.
You are the DJ Khaled expert.
They
not.
Say they don't want us to win. They don't want us to talk Hornets basketball right now. And when you ask who they is, I don't know. It's just the external forces, and that's what that was. But we're gonna figure this out.
Yeah, we'll try to get Chris back on if we can. Again, we'll try to talk to him this weekend or possibly on Tuesday. Let's go back to this bench talk. I did pull some stats. I know your feelings on numbers, but I did a little bit of a stat dive here. And
shoot him.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Yours.
So the bench unit, I split it up like this. First of all, I wanted to take a look at Daniels versus Lamb. And I wanted to take a look at how the bench unit plays when all four guys are on the court, the four bench unit players. So Jefferson, Lynn, Lamb / Daniels, and who am I forgetting? Kaminsky. So they each play with two different starters, mainly Kemba and Batum. And Kemba in the first quarter and fourth quarter, which has been a little bit of a recent increase in the amount that the bench plays with Kemba, and I think versus Nick Batum, and I think that bears out in the numbers, because for some reason over the past 2 months, I limited it to February and March when the Hornets have played so well, 15-4 during that stretch.
Very good basketball.
But when I look at the per 36 numbers between how the bench does with Kemba versus Batum, when I look at Daniels just these past three games, the points per 36 when the bench unit plays with Kemba, 98 points per 36 minutes. When they play with Batum, 58 points per 36 minutes. When I go to look at Lamb's numbers, when they play with Kemba, 83 points per 36 minutes. When they play with Batum, that dips down to 67 points per 36 minutes. Relative number, you know, obviously it's correcting for minutes there. But the shooting percentages, the three-point percentages, all take a dip when the bench unit as a whole plays with Batum versus Kemba. I don't really know why, but you know, Batum is a great distributor, and I think that's why you plug him into that spot. But it seems like the scoring struggles for the bench have really only been alleviated when Kemba is on the floor. And so, you know, I think it's interesting. I think defensively they've played okay, but I mean, do you think if there's one guy you look at on the bench and say, okay, that guy probably deserves more credit for the bench struggles than anyone, is there one guy you can point to, or is this a...
I think it's possibly a little of both. Because I think that the safest of probably all the bench players has been Kaminsky. Al, some nights he has it, sometimes he doesn't. Al just doesn't really have great lift, but he's definitely trying. Lynn always goes out there and gives you maximum effort. Lynn's problem is he just gets sped up too often. And I can say for Daniels and Lamb, Lamb can do more off the dribble. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed when Lamb was playing really well, he was playing a lot with Kemba. Because there were times where people were asking, why isn't Lamb paired with Kemba more than Lynn being paired with Kemba? Because they were playing so well together. And I think, one, I feel like you feel slightly a little bit more engaged with Kemba because Kemba, you know, he gets to the lane. He's a little craftier to other Batum because it kind of slows down a little bit when Batum is out there at the bench. It's a lot more smoother. He's still a really good passer, but it's a lot slower. And when Kemba's out there, you know, he's going to try to get in the lane. They're going to make a couple swing passes, and it's a little bit more active. So I feel like guys are just slightly more engaged because I think Kemba alleviates a little bit more because when Batum's out there, you're going to have to do a little bit more. Kemba kind of helps you out a lot more, and I just think that's what it is. But also, one of Lamb's struggles outside of just not shooting well is he wasn't playing good defense.
And, he was one of the guys.
And we talked about that on that West Coast trip that you were like, "My man, you can't just like constantly get lost." And I think that had something to do with it. But last night, I thought it showed when. I like Troy Daniels. He can shoot, but this is a critical time. Like guys right now are really getting after it. And last night you kind of saw. I don't necessarily want to say the moment is a lot bigger, but you could see
he's hesitant to shoot.
Yeah, when he gets the ball, because I remember he would say when I talked to him, he would say, you know, coach would talk to him, shoot around, and say, hey, I might give you some run tonight, you know, so be ready to play. And then that first time you go out, you're excited, you play, and then you come back down, you're like, okay. I need to do this consistently. People are actually counting on me. Because if I'm not playing well, there are people that were texting me last night, why isn't Jeremy Lamb in the game? And when you watched Daniels, it wasn't that he just wasn't making shots. Because you can live with a guy not making shots. But when you see him thinking, like when you're a shooter and you kind of catch it when you should shoot it and you hesitate and you might put it on the ground and you can say, okay, he's thinking not playing basketball. So we're going to see. I think you're going to stay with Daniels. I don't think you just ruin his confidence just because he didn't have a great shooting game. But if he comes out tonight and it's more of the same, rather just missing shots, I think Lamb will be back.
Well, and I think you have to take these numbers into account where you look at when Troy Daniels plays with the bench, they're still markedly better than when Lamb played with the bench. And it's a small sample size for sure, but that's what Clifford's dealing with, a small sample size. And, you know, rebounding is better when Daniels is on the floor with Kemba or Batum and the rest of the bench. And, you know, and these are and the reason I look at these particular lineups are because they are critical times. It's coming out of the fourth quarter. It's going into the second quarter, coming out of the second quarter. I mean, these are critical moments, critical stretches for the bench unit. Yeah, I think there's so many factors. I think you have Frank Kaminsky hitting maybe a bit of a rookie wall. I think you have Jeremy Lin going through an extended, you know, he's obviously tried to change his shooting form, and that has, I think you have to point to that as the one of the reasons that his shooting is off. And the problem with that is Lin early on was such a dynamic scorer that he drew so much attention, and now he's not drawing that same amount of attention. I saw it against Orlando. He's not drawing the same amount of attention.
They let him shoot a few times. Yeah. Wide open.
Right, and so that collapses, and you got to understand who he's playing with now. Early in the season, he wasn't playing with Jefferson. Now he's playing with Jefferson. Now the defense doesn't have to pay as much attention to Lin. They collapse down onto Jefferson. Jefferson gets double-teamed several times, and they can't. That's the problem. When Jefferson is out there with the rest of the bench unit, teams can double team Jefferson and Jefferson can't make them pay because Kaminsky's missing, because Lin is missing, because Daniels is hesitating. And honestly, you know, that may be why the bench unit numbers look better with Kemba, because Kemba, one guy that can really make them pay, and he's aggressive. You know, he's going to get his looks out there. But yeah, you hope things turn around for Jefferson but I think things turn around for Jefferson. You stop seeing those 3 of 12 numbers when guys start hitting open shots.
Mm-hmm.
And when you extend because you look on the flip side in the starters, that's what's happening with the starting unit, is that I mean, they're spreading guys out. There's no end to the spread with the first unit offense, and they're firing on all cylinders right now. And thank goodness. I mean, that's what's kept this Hornets team afloat so far.
And I can say one thing about the bench. I think it's I guess you would hope that it comes around. But one thing I can say about their locker room is, I mean, it's a really good vibe. Guys thoroughly enjoy each other. I remember, what was the game? It was a Cleveland game. Wasn't it the Cleveland game they should have won in Charlotte? There was a really, I think it was Cleveland or Miami. They let the Miami game go. That was because they still had Kid Gilchrist. And I remember Marvin really took that loss hard. Like, he just sat at his locker, towel over his head. I mean, he took it hard. And I remember Kid Gilchrist going over there, and he was like, you know, hey, man, just... it's going to be all right. It's one game, you know. We know what you can do, and we didn't come together as a team, but, you know, we're going to be all right. And just from seeing that moment, you can see that, guys, when somebody has a rough game, they're there to say, hey, it's all right. You know, it happens. We're going to have good games.
Hey, boo.
And, you know, we got to get it right. And I think the good camaraderie about this team is that. So, granted, the guys have been struggling, and one thing that helps your confidence is seeing the ball go through the net. But just knowing you have that support around you, I find they're just going to keep plugging away. Because Lynn's shot had been falling, but he's definitely still taking it. Yep. No, he hasn't shied away from it. And eventually they're going to fall. But I'll say this. Troy Daniels, he's going to have to play well tonight. Because he can shoot. I don't think there's no question about his shooting. But when you think, you're not the same shooter. So tonight, I'm excited. I think this is a really important game, because we can look at this stretch, the home stretch, and they beat
Charlotte at Miami.
You know, and they beat some teams. You say, okay, they should be able to beat them. But two of the next three, you know, Miami, Denver's no pushover, and San Antonio, I think it starts tonight. You got to get down there.
Yeah, looking ahead at the rest of the schedule, you know, after tonight's game against the Miami Heat, the Hornets come back home for a two-game slate that welcomes the Denver Nuggets and San Antonio Spurs into Charlotte. After that, Justin, 9 of the remaining 12 games will be on the road, including 4-game and 3-game stretches. But when you look at the schedule, does it seem inviting to the Hornets getting a higher seed? Because, again, you look at the standings, and they're right there. I mean, all four of the teams, Heat, Hawks, Boston, and the Hornets locked together.
Man, I think I've said the same thing for weeks about how confident they are. And Clifford said last night, somebody asked him about, you know, we got to go on the road. Well, actually, he said they had to go on the road. And he said, you know, my last 12 games, we're 8-4 on the road. So he's saying, hey, I know we can win on the road.
And the games are there. I mean, 2 games against Brooklyn, 2 games against the Sixers. They play at Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's given them trouble, but they won the last contest with Milwaukee. They're at Toronto. That'll be at Cleveland, at Toronto will certainly be there. I think that's the test. You know, Miami's the first test, but, you know, Cleveland, Toronto is the final exam before the playoffs. Certainly want to win those games. And then you look at April 11th at Boston, second to the last game. That could be, I mean, we're talking about playoff scenarios.
Oh yeah,
happening.
It's
going
to get good, man. I think it's going to be great just for us to talk about, because it's a crucial time. Like, you know, you got to earn it. Like, we've talked about the Hornets being a good basketball team, and there's no better way of making people believe you're a basketball team than going out and winning on the road. And you can be confident and beat up on teams you know you should beat up on, but when it comes to the big dogs and the teams, you know, that's who you're competing with, those are the games that are really important psychologically, and it starts tonight, because they know they can beat Miami, but you got to go out and do it. So, you know, they can't fall asleep tonight. Whether they get up a big lead or they get down, they can't fall asleep. They have to stay true to what they know, and they've never been a team that I would say gives up, so that's never been anything that I'd have to question. But tonight they know, because I feel like Dwayne Wade's going to bring it. Joe Johnson, I'm not too overly concerned about Joe Johnson, but Joe Johnson is always a really good player.
He's played great. I think he's averaging up above 17 points a game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists for the Miami Heat since they acquired him.
And
so he's.
We remember what Whiteside did last time. You know, he was
10,
nuts.
10, 10, triple double.
He was nuts. So,
but the Hornets went right at. I think they've learned their lesson.
Yeah, they went right at him.
I don't want to, you know, speculate, but I think. that the Hornets will keep him from 10 blocks?
I think I can say the two.
He's averaging 4 a game off the bench. So if they can just stick to, I think 4 is enough. Okay, 4 is enough, Hassan.
I say if Nick Batum can give you a relative performance like he did the other night, I think they have a strong chance of winning. I mean, I think I'm excited. Like when I get home.
Asked on Twitter.
It's going to be big.
Yeah, someone asked on Twitter. They're wondering if we think this is the biggest game for the Hornets since the 1990s.
I can't go that far just yet because there's still a lot of games that they're going to play that's meaningful. But is it a big game? Definitely a big game. Definitely a big game.
Yeah, I think...
Too much basketball left.
There's a lot of... There's 15 games left. I think that's true, but... You know, certainly if they lose this game, then all of a sudden... Well, first of all, it sets them back because, you know, it sets Miami apart and really locks them in on the road to their third seed. So that would hurt. But then you lose the tiebreaker with everyone in front of you, and all of a sudden the sixth seed looks like your, you know, new home. And then that means you might have to replay Miami 4 games. And they'll have confidence and tape on you. I don't know. It just this is a huge game. I don't know if it's the biggest game since the 1990s, but certainly the Bobcats didn't play a lot of meaningful regular season games. So
that was a good question, though, by the way.
No, it's a great question. I think it's got to be, you know, top 5, top 3, maybe.
It's in there.
So I have a question for you, Justin. When did the Hornets last play a road game? It's been a while. March 2nd, a 20-point drubbing of the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly. And the Hornets, they're not the only team.
Kimba went for 30 that night.
He
was balling.
He's been going for 30 a lot of nights these days. The Hornets aren't the only team playing well at home. The Heat have won their last 4 home games. That's a season high for Miami. They're getting strong performances not only from Joe Johnson, but also a couple of other newbies, Justice Winslow. I keep calling him Justice. I can't get over it. Second-round rookie Josh Richardson from our producer's alma mater, the University of Tennessee, go Vols. Josh Richardson, he kind of came out of nowhere, but he's shooting, up above 60% from beyond the arc? Dwayne Wade.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, I don't know, but he's confident. He's playing good defense. And you know, they keep drafting these defensive specialists. That's what I'm interested to see, excuse me, in this game, is how Charlotte matches up against a team that really prides itself on defense. Because we saw the first quarter collapse against Atlanta. We've seen them not deal with pressure from Boston very well. And so, you know, of the three teams that they're looking up at, you have to play well against one of these teams that decides to try to key in on your guard. So, you know, what happens if Kemba and Batum can't get a good open look? And Orlando was able to do that to them to a certain extent. They were able to chase Kemba early on off of the three-point line. So then you got to look at Batum or possibly Marvin as well. So that'll be what I'm watching. How can Charlotte respond to a really tough defensive effort?
They say,
can they win a game when they don't score 100 points? That's the question.
You have to be able to win in a variety of ways. And this will be another one. They've won when Kemba scored 30. They've won when you scored 16. And they've won games where it looked like they were going to let him slip away. So, you know, but you know what? I think a guy who can be really important tonight, Courtney Lee.
Okay.
I don't think he necessarily needs to score too many points, but I think he definitely needs to keep, he has to keep Dwayne Wade in check. I think if he can keep Dwayne Wade 12 to like 16, 17, I think that's good. Because Dwayne likes to get in the lane. He likes to create fouls. He does a lot of negative things for defenses. So I think if Courtney Lee can contain him, you know, hit his shots when they come about, play clean basketball, the Clifford like to say, smart, you know, in position, no fouling, I think they'll definitely have a chance tonight. I'm just excited. It's almost here, too.
Yeah, we're, half an hour from tip. We'll end this show a little early here in a few minutes, but just a few more things on this Miami team. It's two teams that bring their best offensive post players off the bench. So Miami bringing Hassan Whiteside off the bench where he's averaging a double-double. The Hornets bringing Al Jefferson off the bench. He's not necessarily averaging a double-double, but when he is locked in, he's a great offensive player. Also, I found this fun fact for you Hornets fans. Hassan Whiteside, Justin, he shoots his free throws jump shot style now. Did you know that? Yeah, he changed it. He's now shooting them with a little – I think he takes one dribble and then does a little short jump shot. It's improved his free throw percentage to 81% since he started the new technique. It was hovering around 50% when he was trying to shoot it flat-footed, and you haven't seen teams go into any kind of hack-a mode because he's been able to knock down free throws.
You know, Mike and Mike talked about this last week. They're like, who is Dosakis going to replace? Well, who are they going to put in as the most interesting man in the world? Hassan Whiteside is definitely trying to throw his hat in there. I didn't even know he was doing this. Like, I'm even more excited to actually witness this. I haven't seen anybody jump at the free throw line since probably ever.
Yeah, that's what to watch for, Hornets fans. Watch this unique. What? And it's reminiscent of Shaq when he was trying to do all of these different things to fix his free throw. But the one thing he wouldn't do is, well, he wouldn't jump shoot it, apparently, but he also did not want to do the granny shot. No. I think Rick Barry was trying to get him to do the granny shot.
His hands were just too big. Like, they were massive. Shaq,
free throws and dialing on a cell phone, two things that I'm sure Shaq continues to struggle with.
Oh, and then with, like, touch? Like, oh,
that's
no.
what I'm saying. Yeah, oh, it must be, his text must be indiscernible.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure he has all types of autocorrect.
But I think it's, I think it's interesting. Hassan has reacted very well to being benched, and that's such a negative way to put, like, being benched. He's really playing a vital bench role for the Miami Heat, but he's reacted well. He's matured in that sense. He hasn't been drawing those silly technicals. He hasn't been getting ejected, and he has decided, hey, there's this part of my game that I'm not very good at that's really hurting the team and allowing other teams to take advantage of us. I'm going to do anything, even if it makes me look ridiculous, even if I have to do it a little differently, I'm going to do something about this, and he went and improved it. So I think it, honestly, it shines a, even though it is odd, I think it shines a light on Hassan and says, like, hey, other teams, I think Miami might have to work a little harder to keep him.
He's understanding how much money is going to be on the table.
Yeah, maybe that finally hit.
Oh, yeah. When
somebody just dropped a stack of money and said, this is what you're about to lose if you don't get it together.
Because let me tell you, guys love to say we don't watch SportsCenter or we don't read the tweets or the headline news. That's a bold-faced lie. He was very aware. I'm sure his agent said, hey, Hassan,
that's
you got to
quit. Face
that's a bold face lie. He said, you got to be smarter, baby. If you're trying to get paid, you got to understand, you got to show a little growth, a little maturity. And now he's realized, okay, if I play well, don't cut up.
It's not even play. I think the thing about Hassan is that he steps onto a basketball court and he's going to play well. Because
he's a problem.
He's a problem. And it's just the one thing I don't know if he's improved yet, though, and it will be interesting to watch tonight, is he still hunts for blocks.
Oh, yeah.
And the Hornets were victims of that in the last game. And you have to bet that they've watched the tape. They know what they did. Clifford knows what they did. And they're going to make an adjustment and try to either pull Hassan out of the lane or attack and pass.
Or so you get could just pull up right at the free throw line.
And I think that's where Courtney could score a lot of points, because you're going to have penetration, and if you can get that penetration towards and have Hassan come from the weak side to block, you might have a wide-open Courtney Lee in the corner, baseline pass, bam, the old hammer play.
Bam.
And Courtney Lee could get a few three-point buckets off of that, but they have to do that. They cannot do what they did last time, which is go straight at Hassan. No. And try to attack the basket that way. You have to throw some different stuff at
you
them.
You have to stick to your guns, but sometimes you can't just continue to do things that you know aren't working. So knowing Clifford, they have to be much smarter.
That's not even my key to the game, though, Justin. That seems like it would be the key to the game because of how they got taken advantage of in the last game. But you know what my key to the game is?
Talk to me.
The Hornets must get back in transition defense for four quarters, especially when Whiteside is on the floor, really when the bench is out there, when Whiteside is on the floor, because Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside have developed a recent affinity to running the floor and looking for the lob. The only way to stop those, you got to identify where Hassan Whiteside is, put a body on him, and whoever spots Goran, you got to go up to Dragic, get some ball pressure at half court. You get ball pressure at the three-point line, it's already too late. They've already lobbed it. It's over.
Already.
Game over. You're done.
Another thing, man. Cody has to stay out of foul trouble. He's never really... he has it at times, but he has to stay on the floor tonight.
That's a good key.
He has to stay on the floor tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. You need all of your tools at your disposal in the second half. You can't... I think that's a good point. You can't have any of your bigs in a position where, oh, now all of a sudden you can't play them. It's funny. I know I mentioned like a week ago when we were first starting to talk about this game being important, I said, well, you know, Miami's dealing with a few injuries, Whiteside, Wade, Bosch, obviously. Bosch won't play in this game. But I said they're dealing with all of these injuries, and one of the things that Spoelstra did in the last matchup is pull Whiteside in and out depending on the situation, and that allowed them a lot of flexibility. They could go small, they could go big, they could go something in between, just depending on whatever the situation is. And Spoelstra is a great coach, and he's an X's and O's coach, and he knows what he's doing. And I said, well, you know, maybe with these injuries, they won't have that opportunity. But now you look across the injury report, and they are fully healthy. Not only that, but Dwayne Wade missed I think he played against the Nuggets on Monday, but he missed a few games, and so you know he's probably rested, ready to go. And understand this, and you understand this, Justin, they think the game is important too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is not a, like, the Hornets, you know, you assume, oh, Miami, they've won championships, they've been through, you know, tough game after tough game.
Oh, they know.
But they're in a unique situation because they have done that, but they're also dealing with an injury to their best player. They also have a lot of young guys who have gotten really good minutes, really good experience, and they're on fire. They're like, oh my God. I mean, you got to, if you're Justice Winslow, I nailed it. I got it right. Yes.
I knew you could do it.
Thank you. I knew you believed in me. And if you're Josh Richardson, you have to think, I got into the league year one. We're a three seed. We're going to the playoffs? I mean, that's amazing.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
So, you know, they're on fire. They're ready to go. They're ready to prove something that this Miami team is, even though it's in a transition period, they've got the young talent to do this. So that's why, you know, in 20 minutes when this thing tips off, we're in for a treat, I think.
Oh, I don't understand how people tell me you can't, they don't like the NBA, or, you know, people don't play hard in the NBA. I've watched a few of these tournament games at work. This is not quality basketball.
People are looking for the buzzer beater.
Man.
People are looking for the buzzer beater. I'm telling you, that's just a fact. And, you know, say what you want about college basketball. It's not a great game.
It's definitely not.
But, you know, when two bad teams play one another, then sometimes you get, you know, 58-59.
I ain't having that.
I'm being told now, I'm sorry, tip is at 7:30. Excuse me. Miami with the weird tips. They're on the East Coast. We're on the same coast, Miami.
They know. It's big time. They know.
It must be a tournament thing.
You know, I'm kind of upset. It is Thursday. If I'm not mistaken, why isn't this on TNT?
Well, because TNT is doing the tournament.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry about that.
Turner's doing the tournament.
Oh, man, I forgot all
about
that.
Listen, this is March, okay? College basketball gets...
I forgot all about that.
Gets everything. I know Carolina plays on TBS, though, at 7:20. So I'm going to, you know, I will
The channel
is my
goes
alma
back
mater.
And forth.
Now, the channel, I got to find some way to get it, like, on a side screen. The main TV is going to be Hornets, and then I've got to find a side screen for... to check
North
in on
Carolina's
Carolina.
Gonna handle for the Gulf Coast, so you know we're gonna be watching some Hornets basketball tonight. I've said the word excited probably 8 to 10 times, but I feel like people feel the same way. Like, I feel like there are some Hornets fans that are excited. I feel like fans are gonna get together, probably get a nice case of beer, sit down and really enjoy this game.
I don't know about that. I think that.
I really think so.
I think that we have some hardcore Hornets fans out there that will definitely be watching the game. But I think, you know, the nation's attention is solely on March Madness.
We have to bring this back again. Why do we have this show?
If well, I'm not mistaken, we're dedicated. This I understand. Show I'm is just dedicated. I live in reality. I live in the real world.
I know some legit, really like hardcore Hornets fans.
That's what I'm saying. But we're an exclusive club, is what I'm saying. Yeah, I think the mass majority of people are tuning in to
watch that bad basketball.
Buffalo State versus Nevada Technical College.
Don't ask me about that. Who's in the tournament? I don't know. Well, you don't know.
All right, one last thing before we get out of here. Single game Hornets playoff tickets go on sale Monday, March 21st at 10 o'clock a.m. Justin, if the Hornets host a playoff game, will that be the first playoff game you've covered in your career?
Negative. I was in the house for LeBron James. I was in the house for Lebanon. Cool. Two games.
Lebanon.
You know, I remember that vividly because somebody stole my question that I had for LeBron James.
Wait. Someone stole your question?
Yeah, I was sitting in the front row that day. I said, hey, man, listen to this question I have for LeBron.
Why did you? That's a rookie move.
I didn't, you know, and I'm a nice guy, so I didn't think somebody was going to, like, take it. You know, they say LeBron's open up for questions. You know, the Miami Heat people go first. And next thing you know, hey, LeBron. Hold on.
Justin.
I say, no.
Was it a Miami reporter that you told this to?
Oh, no. It was a solid guy. Local guy.
Okay. We don't want to name names. Don't name names.
Oh, we won't, man. But I thought it was
a Miami I was like, why would you tell the enemy your question for LeBron James? So this person, was it like the first question?
It was like within the first four.
Did they do it and then look at you and like sort of the way a Disney villain would like?
No, like we were sitting right beside each other, like shoulder to shoulder. So when he did it, I was ready to start pouting like a kid. He just
throws his notebook on your lap and goes, better luck next time, rookie.
But I learned. I definitely learned. But I don't think that's going to happen this year, so we're good. We're good to go.
Oh, my God. That's a great story. That is a great story.
It's not.
That's an amazing story.
Not an amazing story.
What was the question?
The question was, actually, I went to the crutch word, too. I was like, granite.
Oh no,
LeBron! You guys swept the Hornets, but you know it was competitive to a degree. What would you say about Charlotte's future going forward with Kemba Walker and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist?
The future question.
And somebody snatched it.
Stole that guy's question.
And it was almost word for word when they took it. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I'm sure, you know, rookie, you know, that was your first playoff series. I'm sure you didn't.
Won't happen again.
You didn't say anything afterwards,
oh,
right?
Oh, no. I'm a nice dude, man. I'm not violent.
I can confirm that. That's true.
I ain't trying to start no trouble, man.
All right, well, get your playoff game tickets and make sure, don't ask Justin about what questions he's going to ask during those playoff games.
That'd be greatly appreciated.
He won't tell you. Thanks so much. Thanks to Chris for trying to come on. Sorry about the phone issues there. Chris Barnwall. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Barnwall, BarnewAll. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Hive Talk Live for your live game updates and more. Listen to ESPN 730 AM anytime, anywhere at ESPN730.com. For Justin, I'm Doug saying stay bought in, stay believing. All hail the teal and purple.